You may be seated if you would turn your Bible to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 17. And my subject today, your mountain knows your voice. Your mountain knows your voice. There are all kinds of mountains that we all have to deal with in life. And I don't know what kind of mountain you're facing today, but sooner or later, you're going to have to deal with the mountain in life. We all have them, but no matter how long your mountain has been there, no matter how great your mountain is, no matter how permanent you may think it is, it will move if you will speak to it, because your mountain knows your voice. Let me say that again. Your mountain, whatever you're facing right now, your mountain knows your voice. Now, Jesus, he's on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he comes down, and there's a little boy there that his disciples could not heal, and Jesus healed him, and the disciples, they said, why could we not do it? I want you to notice what Jesus said in Matthew 17, 20. Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Now, these are his close circle, his disciples. Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, you got to speak to your mountain, your mountain knows your voice, remove hence to yonder place, it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Jesus said, in essence, your mountain knows your voice, and if you will speak to it, and if you'll speak to it in faith, and if you'll just keep on speaking, it will move. And nothing will be impossible to you. My subject, your mountain knows your voice. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the testimonies, for your blood, and for the songs we've sung. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. And Lord, I'm speaking today to impart something to people so they will know how to talk to the situations in life. We Pentecostal people, we talk to things. Because we have the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost and the word to move mountains. And we praise you and thank you for it. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. Now, these disciples, they had been imparted by the Lord to heal the sick, to cast out devils, and to do mighty exploits. Yet, they could not heal this little boy. And Jesus said, the reason you couldn't do it is because of your unbelief. Where does faith come from? Faith comes from hearing. And hearing the word of God. Faith comes from getting in a good service, hearing good testimonies. But the word of God backs up the testimonies. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Now, there are different types of mountains that we all have to face. There are behavioral mountains. There are relational mountains. There are financial mountains. There are emotional mountains. And there are physical mountains. First of all, I want to talk to you about some behavioral mountains that people face. That's a major thing in life, behavioral mountains. The Apostle Paul, he had a behavioral mountain where he said, the things I should do, I don't do, and the things I shouldn't do, I do. That was a major mountain. It was a pattern of wrong behavior. Well, how did he get delivered? He got delivered, he thanked God, through the deliverance that came through Jesus Christ. Have you ever been there when you were displeased with your own actions and your own shortcomings? People can tell you that you're doing wrong, and they can pray for you so that you can find deliverance. But until you want a change in your life, until you really want it, it is not going to happen. Nobody can change your behavior for you. And God will not change it for you until you want a change. You are responsible for your behavior, and you must realize that if you want a change. And when you open your mouth and say, God, I want a change, and God, I mean business from my heart, that's when God will help you to bring about a change. See, God gave you a gift called willpower. And God will not violate your will. You have a say. You have a free will. It's a gift from God. And when you will, guess what? God will. When you hear the gospel and you decide to get saved, God will save you. He gave you the free will. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And you're not here by chance today. You're not watching by live stream and Facebook Live today by chance. You're watching because God has drawn you to hear the word. Now, the psalmist, he makes a declaration. He said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. See, you can dwell in God's presence. Jesus said, if you abide in me, if you dwell in me and my word abides in you, you shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. But the psalmist talks about dwelling in that secret place. And I want you to look at Psalms 91, verse 2. He says, I will say of the Lord. So you have a voice. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. He says, I will say. Now I want you to look at verse 3. It says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. I will say of the Lord, and he shall do. I will say of the Lord, and he shall do. Well, what am I going to say? I'm going to say what God's word says. I'm going to speak to that mountain, and I'm going to command that mountain to move in the name of Jesus. I have the authority to use his name. You have the authority to use his name. You are a speaking being. God is a speaking being. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and things which are seen were not made out of things which do appear. God just said, let that be, and that was so. And when you start taking God's word and you start speaking it into your situation and talking to that mountain will move. And that's how you move a behavioral mountain. You've got to say the right things to move that mountain. You are responsible for your own actions. No one else is. You are responsible for where you are in life. Life can deal you some hard blows. We've all been through that. We've all had our setbacks. But I'm here to tell you, you can snap back from any setback because the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Somebody go on, praise God. Hallelujah. So there are behavioral mountains. And secondly, I want to talk to you about relational mountains. Some people, they are like magnets when it comes to drawing bad relations. They go from one bad relationship to another. They go from one bad marriage to another. They cannot handle love. They cannot handle their emotions. They cannot control their tempers. And they gravitate toward the negative. They do that because they have not renewed their mind by the word of God. You can listen to me preach and you can listen to 1,000 preachers preach. But until you are willing to deal with relational mountains based on the word of God, things will never change in your life. Amen. I can talk to you about it. You can go to counseling sessions. You can go to therapy. But all that is just talk until you decide to do something. I've counseled a lot of people in my life, and when they are willing to listen to what the word of God says and become a doer of the word, I have watched their lives as they're transformed by the power of God. You've got to rise up and you've got to say, no, devil, you are not going to control my life. You got to suit up. You got to put on the whole armor of God. You got to realize I am in a battle and I am not fighting flesh and blood. That is a real devil. And as Brother Ray said, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He will destroy anything you let him destroy. But you have a say, and you can rise up in the power of Jesus' name and the power of the blood and the word of God, and you can overcome any situation in your life. Look at Ephesians 6 and 11. The apostle tells us, put on, greatest put on in the world, put on the whole armor of God, for you wrestle not against flesh and blood. Look at this, but against principalities, verse 12, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. It says high places, King James, heavenly places, between where you are right now in first heaven and where God is in third heaven. There's a place called second heaven. It's not in the Bible, but I figured it out. If there's a first heaven where we reside, and there's a third heaven where Paul was called up and saw God and all the glory and the splendor, there's a second heaven. And that's where the devil rules his kingdom from. He is not in hell like some people think. He is the prince of the airwaves. He is the prince of darkness. He is a dignitary, but he does not have power and authority over you, because Jesus Christ gave you dominion. Jesus gave you power. Jesus gave you authority. And you will have to rise up and realize that the battle you're going through, this relational, you're not fighting flesh and blood. You're fighting against the devil himself. Your battle is not with people. You've got to learn how to respect people. You got to learn how to treat them with dignity. And then you've got to learn to speak to that mountain. And that mountain will move if you will rise up. Now, we got a couple that just got married here. So I'll give you a little bit of pastoral advice. Watch your words. Amen. Your words create the atmosphere that you go into. I could go home and tell my wife if things hadn't gone well that day, what in the world? She's got two children there, three children. And what have you done all day? The beds aren't made up. The meal's not on the table. I can do that, and I just messed up my whole world. Well, I can say, sweetheart, I see you've had a hard day. Let's fix this thing. Let me help you with the kids, and we'll go out and have a meal. Well, I'm on the love boat tonight. You do it the other way, then amen. Hallelujah. You create your world by your words. I tell you that. You will. Now, if my words are that powerful, and if your words are that powerful, how much more powerful do you think God's words are when you start speaking his word? Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You can move any mountain if you will take the word of God, put it in your mouth, and start decreeing, thus saith the Lord. So then there are what we call financial mountains. These are where we all live. We all live and have to deal with these situations. Some people can never get on track financially. They have bad spending habits. They have made bad financial decisions, and they spend beyond their income. People can help you and help you and help you, but at some point in time, you've got to understand, you got to help yourself, and you got to start speaking to that mountain. You've got to deal with your financial problems your own self. You need to stop saying somebody else needs to help me. Somebody else needs to bail me out. Somebody else needs to do something. No, no, no. At some point in life, you have got to take ownership of your own problems. We all face difficulties. We all have trials. We all have mountains we must move. And at some point, you've got to realize, my mountain will only respond to my voice. My mountain, it knows my voice. Your mountain, it knows your voice. And it's time for you to start speaking to your mountain. I can pray, we can pray, and we can help you, and we can do all types of things. But until you take ownership of your own life, until you take ownership of your behavioral patterns, until you take ownership of your financial problems, it will never, never, never change. You could give some people $1 million, and guess what? They will take it and squander it away. I see people all the time. They get all types of blessings, and the next thing you know, they're broke. They have bad spending habits. They don't know how to be a good steward of what God has put in their hands. See, it's time to start talking to your mountain of debt, and it's time to start changing your spending habits. Get God involved in your financial planning. Pay your tithe. Amen. Sow your financial seed into God's kingdom. We teach seed time, harvest time principles every week here. We do that to help you financially. God has a financial plan. God's financial plan is to be a good steward of your money and then to give your offerings and your tithes unto the Lord. He said, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat, provisions in my house, and prove me. God, it's the only place in the Bible God says, prove me. God says, prove me. He said, I will open the windows of heaven. I will pour you out a blessing that's not room enough to receive. And see, that's when you pay the tithe. And then when you give offerings, God says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. In other words, I'll make your car last longer. I'll make your clothes wear just a little bit longer. I'll give you appliances that won't break down. I will get involved in the affairs of your life. See, you got a covenant with God, and God can make things happen when you decide, I will obey the word of God. I will become a doer of the word. I will not squander my resources away. Excuse me. I will sow them into God's kingdom. Look at Luke 6:38. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Not might. He said, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He said, I'll cause men to give to you. And then he says, with the same measure you measure out to others, that's how I will measure it back to you. So if you're stingy and if you don't give, guess what? You have just taken and you're standing before windows that are not open. You have bound God's hands. He said, I want to give it to you, but I cannot violate my word. You're not doing what I said do, and I cannot bless you the way I want to bless you. That's why we teach these seed time, harvest time principles. They work, and they work every time. And they will work in your life. They work in my life. They work in other people's lives. And we've got people that over the years, I've watched them in my own life. I've hit financial difficulties. But guess what? I mean, when you lose half your income, that's a financial difficulty. But guess what? I kept paying my tithes. I kept giving. I kept sending money to missions. And today, God has restored it all. It just shocks me to look at the blessings on God's people's lives when they follow his seed time, harvest time principle. Somebody go and praise God. Hallelujah. See, it's time to rearrange things in your life and get out of the world's economy and get into God's economy. If you have something in your hand that does not meet your need, then it's your seed. So pour your seed and expect, plant your seed and expect God to keep his word and to pour out blessings upon you. That's the way it works. That's God's economy. You can do it like the world. The world says, get, keep, hold. God says, no, give, and it shall be given unto you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is the first fruit of the resurrection. And we're sitting in church today, and we have eternal life. We have God's life, Zoe, in us, the life of God, because God planted a seed. His son went to an old rugged cross. He shed his precious blood. And if you will just accept him, you don't have to do anything except believe. Jesus Christ paid the price. They nailed him to the cross. They had him out there, and God said, while you already got him up there, I'll just put the sin of the whole world upon him. I'll put sickness and disease upon him, and I will redeem my wonderful, beautiful creation, mankind, that fell into sin. The first Adam, he sold us out. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, he came and redeemed us with his blood. Go and praise God that you're in the house of the Lord today. Hallelujah. Your mountain knows your voice. So quit talking about lack and quit saying, I can't do this and I can't do that. Miracles come in cans. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's the word of God. And you can if you will. Hallelujah. So your mountain knows your voice. Fourthly, there are emotional mountains. Sometimes there always seems to be something that comes along that takes your victories. And just about the time somebody's ready to bless you, you start acting up and you start getting weird because you have emotional mountain. Just about the time somebody's ready to give you a promotion, your anger flares up and you mess the whole thing up and you lose another opportunity. You have emotional deficiencies. We all do. We have to work on them. Emotional deficiencies that surface all the time in some people's lives, and they hinder you from being all that God has purposed for your life. You can talk to that emotional mountain in the name of Jesus, and you can move it. And you can say, I will not be insecure. I will not be jealous. I will not be angry. I will not be unloving. And by the help and grace of God, I will not become a bitter person. Your mountain knows your voice. And Jesus said, if you have faith in God and speak to it, your mountain will obey your voice. So there are behavioral mountains, there are relational mountains, there are financial mountains, and there are emotional mountains. So fifthly, I want to talk to you about physical mountains, because we're in a physical body and God has provided all things that pertain to life and godliness. And God has called us to the realm of his glory and his virtue, to a realm of holiness, where we don't live under condemnation. Our hearts don't condemn us. We have confidence toward God. John said, beloved, if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask of him, we receive it, because we keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. I just wanted to give you some points there, pastorally. I wanted to speak into your life, because we can pray and pray and pray and teach and teach and preach and preach, but until you want to change, they will never come. Now I'm going to preach a little while, okay? I want to preach to you, hallelujah, about physical mountains. The devil would like to make everybody sick, and they have physical mountains of sickness, infirmity, and disease. But the voice of faith, it always begins on the inside, and it begins on the inside before that can ever become a change on the outside. Walt Watson just stood right, sat right there, and he said, I said, not today, devil. What he was doing was speaking to his mountain. He opened his mouth and said, this is not the day I'm leaving. And God has brought him out of that dilemma and given him a great victory. But it had to start on the inside before it manifests itself on the outside. And faith always works like that. If you're going to speak to your mountain, you've got to want something on the inside bad enough to say, that's not going to happen, devil. I'm rising up. The Bible says the violent take it by force. So there are some things you'll just have to take back, because the devil will steal your goods. He'll steal your health. He'll take it off to his warehouse and put your name on it. And if you don't go back and claim it and say, oh, no, devil, you're not going to do that. If you don't speak to that mountain, it will not move. But Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, move. It shall remove. Nothing shall be impossible to you. Brother Baker, if you can zoom in on that. That right there, my friend, in the front of my Bible is a mustard seed. That's what it is. Now, it's so small that some of you can't see it. But it's, Jesus didn't say if you have mustard seed faith, as a grain inside of that. And it's just a little bit of tiny speck. I mean, it's small if you cut it open. But Jesus said if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, not great faith, but faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to your mountain, move, and it will move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. So the voice of faith always begins on the inside before it ever manifests on the outside. Now, this woman that had an issue of blood, her faith, it began on the inside. Look at Matthew 9 and 20. I want you to hear this. Jesus is telling this story. And a certain woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said, do you see this? Within herself. Do you see that? For she said, faith always begins on the inside. For she said within herself. In other words, she had some faith going on. She had some faith working for her. She wasn't speaking doubt and unbelief. She said within herself. She said, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. Look at verse 22. But Jesus turned about when he saw her. He said, woo! Now the master speaking. She said something, and now she's got Jesus speaking in that situation. You start talking to that mountain in Jesus' name, and Jesus will start speaking into that mountain. Verse 22, but Jesus turned him about when he saw her. He said, daughter, be of good cheer. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. She said within herself, another another gospel says she said within herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. She was talking to herself. Do you see that? And then she began to talk to her mountain of sickness and disease. She had been sick 12 long years, but she said, I can be free of this thing. When something has been there so long, it seems so big, it seems permanent. And the devil will try to make you think that things will never change. The devil wants you to think that you are never going to be able to get a victory. He will talk to you until you start telling him who you are in Jesus' name. When you start telling him, I'm blessed and highly favored of God, I promise you something. Start doing good things financially. Blessings, financial blessings will show up in your life. When you start saying to emotional problems, I am going to bear the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness. And I'm going to be like Jesus. I am going to work on my personality. I'm going to work on my deficiencies. I'm going to take the Word of God. I'm going to renew my mind. I'm going to speak to those mountains, and they will move in Jesus' name because I got faith in what Jesus said. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. The enemy wants you to think that your mind is always going to be full of turmoil. But Jesus said, I'm the Prince of Peace. And he'll give you peace. See, there's nothing in your life that is permanent. No situation that comes that's permanent. No. If I had listened to what the naysayer said to me when I came home from combat in Vietnam, I know some of you don't like to hear my stories, but I tell them anyway. It's my sermon. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I had door after door after door slammed in my face. Doors to education. Doors to a job. Doors into a future. And I just decided one day, I said, I will not let people stop me. The only person that can stop me is me. I wasn't even born again. But I had enough belief that I could do something with my life, that I didn't just have to sit there. But I did make my way to Jesus, and I got Jesus involved. And let me tell you, from that moment to this, I've known and I've learned how to move mountains. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus Christ gives us power. He gives us anointing. He pours out his blessings upon us. Glory to God. The enemy wants you to think that your situation is permanent, but nothing can hold you where you are if you will come to Jesus Christ. You can get your victory. And just because you haven't gotten everything, don't worry about that. Just keep coming back to the altar. Keep coming back to the church. Keep getting your mind renewed by the Word of God. Amen. And your blessings will show up. Look at my text once again. Now, the disciples, now these are men that Jesus has hand-selected that he's teaching. They could not heal that little boy. They had been in the presence of the Lord all this time. Now, James, John, and Peter had been up on the Mount of Transfiguration. So the disciples had been out of God's presence, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they had been drawing their strength from the Lord. But Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost and I'm going to put my power within you. Now, so these disciples, they'd been out of the Lord's presence. They could not heal this little boy. And look at Matthew 17, 20 again. Jesus said unto them, this is why, because of your unbelief. See, you got to renew your mind with the word of God. There are storms, there are battles. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place. It shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Nothing. You mean this situation, Pastor, that I'm facing, that it looks like it could never change? Do you mean this situation is not impossible? Well, Jesus said, nothing is impossible to you. Oh, the doctors will tell you it'll never change. People will tell you it will never change. I remember my sister when I got saved. She said, how could you be so happy? Don't you realize you've lost everything? I said, oh, no, I've not lost everything. The spirit of prophecy came over me. I said, I've got Jesus. I said, he has all of me. And you watch God put my life back together again. I mean, you're looking at a man who was broken, whose life was fragmented. But today, I am what I am by the grace of God. And I just chose to keep myself humble before God. I don't seek to anything. I never sought to be the purchasing agent at Firestone. God elevated me. He did it. I just sought him. I never sought to be anything big in the church. I'm a pastor because God elevated me. I was happy, happy, happy just to be a lay evangelist. But God called me to pastor it, and I said, I'll step through the door. And I've been stepping through doors ever since. God is for you. God is a good God. And if you'll put your hand in that nail-scarred hand and stop trying to make it happen yourself, seek him first, I promise you something. He'll make it happen. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. Somebody say all. All these things shall be added unto you. Somebody go and praise God. Hallelujah. See, it doesn't take great faith. It just takes real faith. And if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, if you'll speak to your mountain, it will move. The devil wants you to think that condition is permanent. The doctors will tell you on many occasions your condition is permanent. But that's not true, because your faith can move any mountain. I'm thankful for doctors. Agent Orange affected me. They cut me open. I had 4 bypasses to my heart. 4 arteries that were blocked. 4. They operated on me. 2 of them shut down. But I talked to God about it. I said, I wasn't expecting that. And I'm standing here today with collateral arteries. A miracle from God. A creative miracle. My heart's not like other people's. Hallelujah. My heart bypassed itself. God said, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my glory. Hallelujah. So talk to God. Get God involved in the equations of life. Give God everything, and I promise you, everything that you'll ever need, and then some more, it will show up on your plate. Hallelujah. See, the devil, he's a liar. Many times Jesus would perform a miracle, and he would say, how long has it been like this? How long has this been going on? See, Jesus wanted to break the power of permanency and the spirit of unbelief off of the minds of these people. Unbelief, it will come if you allow it to. I studied under Dr. Lester Sumrall, and Lester, within his program, he said, feed your faith, starve your doubts to death, let them die in Jesus' name. Well, where are you going to feed your faith from? It comes from the Word of God. You need to hear good Holy Ghost anointed preaching. The Word. We don't have any bad news here. We got good news here. We got people been delivered from all types of things. We got people, praise God, that are sitting in church and they're married and they got families and they got homes and they got resources and they got children. And some of them, they've been devastated by life. Some of them with substance abuse problems. But that problem doesn't have them anymore. It was not permanent. The devil said you can never get out of the clutches of it. But you begin to speak and you begin to rise up. And once you do that, praise God, then you can speak to your mountain. Your mountain knows your voice and it will obey you. Jesus said, how long has it been this way when he come off of that mountain? And the Father said, since he was a little boy. And Jesus healed that little boy, and he broke that spirit of permanency. The woman with the issue of blood, she had been sick 12 long years, but Jesus healed her, breaking the power of permanency. The man at the pool of Bethesda, he had been there 38 long years. He had been there waiting for an angel to come and trouble the water. He had his faith in an angel. But Jesus came by one day, hallelujah. He put his faith in Jesus. He looked up. He said, I can't even get into the water. But he looked up and he saw the living water himself. Hallelujah. He saw the bread of life. He looked into the eyes of Jesus. He said, there's someone who cares. Look into Jesus' eyes. Look into the word. Look into his heart. Oh, he's a good God. He loves you. He cares about you. You're his, the apex of his creation. You are important to God. It does not matter how far down you have gone. It doesn't matter how far away you've gone from God into to sin. If you will turn to him, two rose diverts in the yellow woods, the poet said, sorry, I could not travel both and be one traveler long. I stood, I looked down to one as far as I could. He said, then I took the other. But both that morning equally lay. He said, but I took the road less traveled by, and that's made all the difference. Now, I was reading that poem one day, and I thought how I took the wrong road, and it carried me further and further and further down into sin and away from God. But one day, I just did a military about face, and I started walking out of that thing. I put my hand in that nail-scarred hand, hallelujah. I said, I will walk with the Master. The poet ends that poem by saying, I shall be telling this with a sigh. Somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in the yellow woods. And I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. Come walk with Jesus. It will make all the difference. See, your mountain knows your voice. So speak to it. Command it to move in Jesus' name. Now, faith is always now. Faith is, you have faith. God gave it to you. It's a gift from God. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is always now. Now faith is the evidence of things not seen. What your faith did yesterday, it won't do today. It will take now faith. Every time you win a battle, every time you come out victorious, you are going to face another battle. And it will always be now faith. Your faith is your evidence. Faith says it's so when it's not so. So it can be so because God said it's so. That's my definition. Faith says it's so when it's not so. So it can be so because God said it's so. I want you to look at Matthew, Mark 11:23. Jesus starts by saying, have faith in God. Don't put your faith in yourself. Put your faith in God. Now look at this, what he says in Mark 11:23, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what do you desire? Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Well, Pastor, I've spoke to my voice. I've spoke to my mountain. I've spoken to it, but nothing has happened. Well, there's a law called the law of persistence. And if you speak to something, and if you will keep speaking to it, your mountain will move because your mountain knows your voice. The woman came, said, Jesus, I want you to heal my daughter. She's grievously vexed with the devil. And Jesus told her, said, you're asking for the children's bread. She was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician woman. And she wanted the children's bread. She wanted healing. Jesus said, you're asking for the children's bread. She said, hey, true, Lord, but even the dogs, he called her a dog. He pushed her away. I wonder why Jesus did that. He wanted her faith activated. She said, even the dogs could eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And he said, I've not seen faith so great. Go thy way. Thy daughter has been made whole. He was looking for faith. And that's what Jesus is always working for. And he said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can speak to your mountain. It will move and nothing will be impossible to you. Pastor Ricky, your mountain knows your voice. And we're Pentecostal people. We speak to things. We speak to sickness. We speak to disease. We speak to debt. We speak to all kind of problems. And we know, I know it, I've learned it, that my mountain, your mountain, it knows, my mountain knows my voice, and your mountain knows your voice. So start speaking. Start declaring the word of God. And if you're sick, get you some healing scriptures. We'll pray for you, but go home and get you some healing scriptures and just say them and say them and say them. I said them till I got tired of hearing them when I was sick. I told the devil, I said, I know you're tired. I'd walk the walking track. I said, I know you're tired of hearing these healing scriptures, but I'm going to wear you out with the word of God. And I said them, and I said them, and I said them, and I said them. Then I said them some more, and then I said them some more. And I told the devil, I said, I know you're tired of hearing them. I'm tired of hearing them. But I just kept on saying them. And I said them, and I said them, and I said them. And here I stand today. I was 62 years old then. 12 years later, God healed me. And God has sustained me. And God will heal you. And God will sustain you. And God will bless you. If you'll only speak to your mountain, be persistent and obey God. Let us stand.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship, one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujahs to our God. Every praise is to our God.
My Savior.
God, my Savior.
God, your Savior today. God, your healer today.
God, my
Savior. See your deliverer. Sure he is.
Yes, he is.
God, willpower.
Yes, he is.
If you will.
God, my Savior, God, my healer, God, my deliverer, yes, he is.
Let's come to the altar and praise him. That Syrophoenician woman, she came and she worshiped the Lord. And she said, Lord, she made him Lord. God, heal that child.
God.
God, I give you everything. You're my Lord.
Sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
To our God. Glory, hallelujah to our God. Every praise, oh, every praise is to our God.